Hello, everyone. Today we're going to talk about the science of exercise, why most people don't do it, and how you can do it safely and efficiently.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode. All right. Welcome back. Episode 2.
We're doing it.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get good at this.
Let's double up.
You know what I mean? All right. I know the last one was really long, everybody. I apologize. We'll try to keep this a little short and concise. But here we are. So last time we kicked things off with this idea that exercise is really the one thing. So all these conversations, all these biohacks and stuff like that, we should talk about that at some point too. What should I be doing? What should I be worried about? Let's just worry about exercise right now. And then the question is like, okay, what is exercise? And so the Perfect Workout, we've been around since 1999. The main reason people come to us is because we're efficient, 20 minutes, and you get great results. The main reason people don't come to us is because they're like, how the heck do you get great results in 20 minutes? And so here's the thing. Research shows that the reason people don't exercise is, first of all, time. And this is really kind of ranked in order, which is important, right? So if there's 5 or 6 reasons that people don't strength train, we talked about that last time, 95% of the population not strength training. Number one is lack of time. Number two, convenience. Number three, people don't know what to do. So we're going to talk about that today. Number four, fear of injury. And number five, lack of accountability. So these are really the big hurdles when it comes to most people doing the one thing that would make them have a better quality of life and potentially an even longer life. So Jim, let's talk a little bit about some of these reasons that people don't strength train.
Yeah, these are very common whenever people are surveyed. Why don't you strength train? And pretty much everybody has tried at one point or another to begin an exercise regimen, and then one of those things happens. They don't get results, or they do get results, but there's lack of clarity on how to proceed when the results start to slow down and they plateau, or they hurt themselves and they just never come back, and they retreat to like some of those things you were referring to earlier where you're kind of making the bed while the house is on fire. You should be placing a strong demand on your muscles on a regular basis. We all know that. But for all those reasons that you just mentioned, we don't do it. And we go for walks, which is fine. And we join some sort of class, which is fine. Or we do these other things to move our bodies, which is fine. But it's not as good as actual intentional exercise. Right. So that's what we do.
So, and you've seen this too. We see this all the time on social posts and things like that. Somebody will call us out in the comments on this, I'm sure. But here's the irony here. If the number one reason out of all of those is time, it seems like most people, like you said, that have tried something, the first belief we get is, well, everybody knows you have to spend an hour in the gym or 2 hours in the gym or 6 hours in the gym. So they're coming up with all this willpower and all these sort of systems to bypass that first issue, which is time. Oh, well, we can't solve for time. So I guess we'll get into these other things, convenience or it doesn't work or fear of injury, et cetera. And I'll go get a trainer, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people, there's a mistaken assumption behind that idea. And the mistaken assumption that most people have is that more is better. So yeah, you could get by with less, but more would be better. If we could do more, it would be better. But that's not really how exercise works. But people think that's how it works. But that's simply not the case because the way exercise works, it's a three-step process. There's the stimulus. So nothing good happens during the workout. The workout is a big negative for the body. The muscles are damaged. The fuel is depleted rapidly. By the end of the workout, you are much weaker than you were when you walked in. So the body sees this as a big threat.
Not it's the time a negative to get in a fight.
Yeah. Correct. So nothing, no muscle is built. No strength is gained. You're way weaker at the end than the beginning. Everything's worse at the end for the body after the workout. So nothing good happens in step one. So more is not better of this thing that is no good. That's just step one is the stimulus to the body. Step two is where the body recovers. So it replenishes the fuel. It restores the integrity of the muscle fibers and the connective tissues and the bones and all the things that were damaged during the workout. And then step three is where the adaptation is produced. So step three is where the body, using the food that you eat and your sleep that you have and your environment and your lifestyle, begins to build whatever it is that you're looking for, increased strength, improved bone density, better glucose control, lower insulin levels, all the benefits that everyone could identify from exercise are actually produced by the body in response to the workout. So in that context, you have this three-step process. The step two is recovery, and the step three is the production of the new results beyond what existed previous. So which one is really better? Which one do you need more of? Well, it's not step one. And so when we say we have a workout that takes 20 minutes, everyone assumes that that's just something they can get away with. Like if they were just given 20 minutes, what's the best you can do in 20 minutes? And that's not the case. It turns out that that 20 minutes, that's downstream of the real thing. And the real thing that we're doing is we have this workout that is so potent and it's so effective. And the demand placed on the body is so intense, yet safe, that after about 20 minutes, you've achieved everything step one is supposed to have achieved. The demand has been placed on the body, and you simply don't need to go much longer than the 20 minutes. So we started with what's the best workout, and it just so happens that it takes about 20 minutes.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, because A, let's get into some of the mechanisms of that potency. Because it's true, not to push back a little bit here, true, right? But if I'm listening to this, I'm going, well, there's a direct relationship between how much recovery you need, right? Sort of that deficit, and how potent the stimulus was, of course. So, you know, let's go back to that example of somebody just taking a walk. Of course, they're like, yeah, I could do that again in 2 hours. I could do that in 3 hours. So why are you saying recovery is so important? And the implication here is that it's the potency of the exercise that matters. So can you get into what are sort of the mechanisms that matter and why exercise isn't all created equal?
Yeah, when I say potency, the potency of the stimulus to which your body responds is based primarily on three factors. There's the mechanical loading of the muscles in question. There is the use of fuel, the metabolic stress, they call it, how quickly you use fuel, and the depth of fatigue to which you can take the target muscle. And then there's physical damage to the muscle fibers as a result of the muscle contractions. So the degree to which you can administer these three elements of the stimulus to your body is the degree to which you can stimulate improvements in your body. So if you're using regular old weights, you can get a lot of mechanical loading, not your maximum, because if you did your maximum, it would only be a one rep max, right?
Right.
So there's not a lot of fuel use and metabolic stress. Wouldn't be a lot of metabolic muscle damage. It would it'd be just like the mechanical loading, which is good for strength, but we need the set to last longer, but then you have to reduce the weight on the bar in order to have your set last longer. So there's always a compromise. There's always a trade-off. You have to reduce the weight in order to go longer, but now your mechanical loading isn't as good. So you can see how the potency gets lost in certain areas, which leads to very useful things like periodization and different rep ranges. And that's all well and good, but it's a workaround. It's a compromise. So what we do is the next step up, we have two different ways to do it. Some of our studios have the Nautilus machines, and the Nautilus machines more closely match the user's strength, which allows the muscles to work harder. So at the different joint angles, instead of a barbell, which is the same weight all the time, the Nautilus machines have the offset cam, which allows for heavier weight where you're stronger, lighter weight when you're weaker. And so this is more mechanical loading, gives you greater metabolic stress, more muscle damage, and so it increases the potency of the stimulus. And then there's the FastFit machines, which all three elements, it maximizes all of them all of the time. You're at maximum mechanical loading, maximum rate of fuel use, and maximum degree of muscle damage at all times. And as a result, you need it far less, and you need it far less often. So it's this coffee in my mug versus espresso, same effect, same active ingredient. You just need far less of the espresso and you need it less often. So that's for exercise. That's what we do. We're the espresso. We're the same thing. You're not going to grow a third arm or anything.
Right.
It's just strength training, just like with weights. But you're going to have a more targeted dose of the active ingredient. It's going to be applied much more quickly. You do not need much more than what we prescribe. And if you're having a lesser stimulus, then the people are right. You do need an hour or
right.
2 hours, three, four, five times a week.
Yeah.
If you're taking that lesser stimulus, then yes, you do need that, which is why people think that's normal. But that's just because that's normal doesn't mean that's optimal.
Yeah.
That's the thing you should do if you have what we're doing available to you.
Yeah, especially in the context of like we're talking about time being the first bullet point in that research. That is the obstacle for people not to train. And then yet, if we think that all stimulus is created equal, you know, all roads lead to Rome, just kind of whatever. And I get, this is a great principle. And I think one of the most important things we'll talk about in a few episodes, most likely, is really at the end of the day, adherence is the most important. Anything that you'll actually do is great. And our philosophy is, well, if time is the major thing that gets in the way, let's start there.
Right? Let's solve for that.
Yeah, let's solve for that. So we both agree that the stimulus is not all created equal, and there's a relationship between that recovery and how potent those things are, which is great. But then I think where some of the skepticism comes into, if we don't really understand the potency there, or even if we do, like, okay, fine, I did that. the stimulus was stronger than espresso, right? So I got a nice little buzz. There must be some sort of trade-off, meaning if I'm going to train 20 minutes two times a week, then there must be a bunch of other benefits that I'm leaving on the table, right? Because, and that's sort of the paradox. That's where people get stuck with us, is like, these things can be true. You can train in less time, and because of that stimulus, there's actually some benefits you get because of it that you wouldn't get otherwise. So maybe tease us a little bit on that, because we're not going to spend the whole episode on this, but
yeah. Well, in order to get a potent stimulus in 20 minutes, certain factors have to be increased. Factors of intensity, factors of the demand placed on the systems that support the working muscles. And as a result of this greater demand, you can actually produce effects like on your cardiovascular system, on your metabolic health. And these things that people think they're not getting from a brief workout, the fact that it is so brief is because of this greater level intensity that actually gives you a better result in that area they think this doesn't apply to. So yeah, we can talk about that in the next episode and why the workout that ends up only requiring 20 minutes can actually produce things that these long form workouts cannot.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, see.
All right, let's do it.
Deal.
See you there, man.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.